Happy Pentecost. So on the Feast of Pentecost in 1893, the cornerstone for Jesus was laid. It was to become the church of two communities, Holy Name Church and St. Gall, which were somewhere that way. I'm not from Milwaukee, so I'm not sure where. I wasn't there then. Both of these were Irish communities. And because of the neighborhood, this was another Irish community. It ain't so anymore. As we look around and notice, this community has grown in such diversity, it's remarkable, over 123 years in one sense, because it's another year and a half. It took a year and a half to finish this thing. Can you believe it? Holy buckets. Okay. But Pentecost is about partly the foundation of the church, but also the renewal of the church. That's what the tongues of fire signify in the first reading from Acts of the Apostles. Jesus said, I have not come for peace on earth, but for division. And how I wish that fire were already burning. And what happens in Acts of the Apostles is we see that played out. How the purification of the disciples, the 12, and the early community produced a community that shared all things in common. In other words, the power of the Spirit healed the avarice or the greed of the community. So what we can do for ourselves today is say, well, this is the 123rd celebration of Pentecost in this place. On that day, 123 years ago, 125 years ago, 6,000 people showed up. Between 5,000 and 6,000 people came to celebrate the laying of the cornerstone. And as we will do at the preparation of the gifts, they sang Regina Caeli. And we will too. I think in every age and every year, the question is, how do we go? What helps us along the way? What are models that lead us from where we are to some future or some even immediate future of the church, which has experienced the purifying and healing grace of the Holy Spirit? It's a basic, how do you get here, there from here? Here's a thought. Chapters 20 and 21 in John's Gospel give us, a clue of what that looks like. Just before this Gospel, we heard, it's the story of Mary of Magdala, who went to the tomb. Jesus was not there. She was distressed and crying. An angel told her, what are you doing here? And then she's, where have you laid him that I may take him? And there's the gardener. So she asked him. And Jesus said, Mary. And she turned and said, Rabboni, my rabbi. And he said, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go and tell my brethren. And she did. What was her step in the purification that signified by the fire of the Holy Spirit? Do not cling to me. You knew me then and loved me then, and what it was like But there has been a huge earthquake, as it were, not in John's gospel, literally, but don't cling to me as it was then. And so idolatry is the first thing addressed in each of us. I want the church to be the way it was. I want the country to be the way it was, the world to be the way it was, to be me to be the way I was, and don't happen, does it? Don't cling to me. Find me as I am now. And here's the gospel. Jesus shows up and stands in their midst and says, "Peace to you." And this is the gift. This is the, I think, one of the basic gifts that Jesus gives. Can we receive it? That peace is the foundation for going through the loss of our idols and furthermore. Peace to you. And it's the context for, he showed them his hands and his side. It's only in peace that we can recognize the signs of our lives at our worst, embraced by the resurrected Christ. And at the sight of the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the Greek word that has to do with, in Genesis, in chapter 3, after creating this Adam, this character Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And this is the recreation. He breathed on them. It's also used in that great scene from Ezekiel where all the bones of the dead are out there. And God says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy, let the winds come, the breath of God come." And all these bones clack together and they, you know, this great army of characters, and they were dead still. And he said, "Prophesy again, son of man. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath that the Lord God says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live," and that the breath is there about bringing the dead to life, which is what was said implicitly about the disciples. They were still dead, and Jesus breathed the breath of life into them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Another translation would say, accept the Holy Spirit. Let it in. Which is very interesting, because it's about receiving the gift or accepting the gift. Who sins you forgive or forgiven them. How does peace happen? Forgiveness of sins. And then this is, in my estimation, the worst translation in the New American Bible. And those whom you hold fast are held fast. The word sin is not in this phrase, whose sins you retain. And it's not about retaining things, it's about holding people as. For I, the same verb in Greek, for I, the Lord, hold your right hand. I say to you, do not fear, I will help you. I will help you, says the Lord, your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. It's about holding the community fast through the forgiveness of sins. How does that happen? The next week, Thomas gets to put his hand in the side of Jesus and see the nail prints and recognizes by seeing the effect of his betrayal. The acceptance in the resurrected Lord, and he says, my Lord and my God. He doesn't sit there and say, I'm such a lousy person. Don't look at me. But says, my Lord and my God. And then what happens? Chapter 21, Peter and the boys go fishing. Long story short, Jesus has breakfast with them. How in the healing of Peter here is the paradigm for all disciples. Peter, do you love me more than these? How does Jesus forgive his sins and hold him fast? Do you love me more than these? And Peter was distressed because he didn't want to talk about it. Yes, I am your friend. Feed my sheep. Do you love me more than these? Yes, I am your friend. Tend my lambs. Do you love me? No. Are you my friend? Yes, Lord, you know all things. I am your friend. Tend my sheep. That's how Peter and disciples undergo the fire of the Spirit in John's gospel, seems to me. And then he talks about when you're young, you do what you dang well please, but when you're old, someone else is going to run your life. And then he looks around and sees the beloved disciple and says, what about him? And Jesus says, dang, you're nosy. I said to you, follow me. Don't worry about him. You follow me. And so it looks like the giving of the Spirit in John's gospel is about healing of our idolatry. Given the peace of the Lord so that we might endure encountering him again and again at our worst and finding his gracious welcome. And then going deeper into that. Do you love me more than these? You follow me. I think that's the picture it offered today. Take it or leave it, but I think that's the sign, the ongoing sign of a community that has been engaged by and engages the Holy Spirit, which is done in peace, the experience of joy, and the experience of being seen and seeing the Lord more clearly. One last thing. When does that happen? Seems to me the hardest grace to receive that I've ever had to receive is the grace of loss, disappointment, or disillusionment. It raises the question, who am I? What am I about? So my new assignment from here in about 5 weeks is part of that for this community. It is for me. It's difficult to move on from Jesus for me, and I've heard from others it's true. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. And those whom you hold fast are held fast. Even in this time of leave-taking and new realities in the future coming at us, may we find the peace of the Lord that we might undergo that clearly, to know Him more deeply, to love Him more dearly, to follow Him more closely.